What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Friday. ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, you can help us decide who you think has the best basketball jersey in our uniform drawing contest. The winner will receive an MTSU sports jersey courtesy of MTSU Athletics. You can vote at 102.5 The Game Twitter page or The Game Nashville Facebook page. Cast your vote now. We told you we would catch up with Mo Williams, longtime NBA player, played at Alabama under Mark Godfrey, and now he is the new head coach at Alabama State, his first head coaching job. And let's say hello and good morning and congratulations to him. Mo, how you doing?
How you doing?
Oh, we're doing fantastic here in Nashville. Why was this? I know you played at Alabama, and I know you're back in the area where you've spent a lot of time. Why was this the right time for you to take on? I know you've been an assistant for a couple of years elsewhere, but why was this the right time to become a head coach?
Well, I've been preparing for this moment, for years. Even while I was still playing, the opportunity was there. And like you just said, I played at Alabama. I'm from that area. It made total sense on all parts. I'm just ready to get the ball rolling and run my own program.
I remember that team. You had some good teams at Alabama. You played there under Mark Gottfried. In fact, I think I hate to bring this up, but I think you guys lost, if memory serves me correct, didn't you lose to Kent State? Was that Antonio Gates' Kent State team?
That was.
Sorry. That's a bad way to start the interview, isn't it?
The funny thing about it is, I remember like yesterday, he had about 20-10 against us. And the NFL draft was probably a couple weeks after the tournament. And I had no clue that he was going to be the first tight end taken. So my joke was, my joke of the century is, man, we lost to a football player, man.
A Hall of Fame football player at that. He will
be
someday. You were initially drafted by the Utah Jazz, and unfortunately, very sad news today that Jerry Sloan has passed away at age 78. I know you weren't there long, but what was your experience like in Utah with the Jazz and around Jerry Sloan?
Well, for one, I'm deeply saddened by the news. Jerry, he meant a lot to me, because I played for him as a rookie. And, everything just coming into the NBA, just how to prepare yourself and the approach you have to have, to even have longevity in this league. I think all those things was instilled in me by Jerry, just the way he, ran his program, ran his team, stuff I still use today, the way he motivate, everything. He gave me an opportunity as a rookie to play out the third point guard on the roster, and sometimes he'll start me and I'll play a lot. I had some games where I had 20 and 18, just opportunity that kind of prolonged my career to where it is today. So I have a lot of admiration for Jerry. That news definitely was sad news to me. I just actually sent a tweet and, Instagram post 20 minutes before this call. So that's how kind of, I just heard the news 20-30 minutes ago, so it's definitely sad news.
Mo, who were some of the other people that influenced you along the way, coaches, players, that you're going to compile all this information and make it your own, but you learn things along the way to help you in this role as a head coach? Who are some other people that influenced you?
Well, you go down the line. I've played for some amazing coaches, and everybody have their own strengths. And obviously you understand that you take tidbits out of, you know, everything, all your experience, and kind of compile into your own kind of style and fabric of who you are. But I can go down the line. I mean, you're talking about a Mike Brown. You're talking about a Terry Stotts. You're talking about a Larry Kostowiak, a Terry Porter, a David Vanderpool that's in Minnesota. I mean, Avery Johnson that was obviously at Alabama a few years back. And, you know, obviously Mark Godfrey, Jim Herrick. Just the knowledge that I have around me, just all those years of experience. You know, some people I can just pick up the phone and just have a conversation about anything basketball related and get some knowledge about it. So with that being said, you know, the experience around me is undeniable, and I definitely will use those guys as resources.
That is a pretty good list. Mo Williams on the line with us, played at Alabama, longtime NBA player, now the head coach at Alabama State. You know, during these times especially, we haven't had any live sports to talk about. It's just starting to come around a little bit. A couple of sports have merged, but The Last Dance has gotten a lot of attention, as you can imagine, on Mondays especially, on shows around the country. Have you had a chance? Have you been watching? What do you think? Give us your take on The Last Dance.
Well, The Last Dance, it was amazing, to be honest with you. When you really look at it, you know, Jordan had this kind of airness to him, you know, in life. You know, people just really didn't know much about him. We know him, and we knew everything about him, but we just didn't know him. The things where you're kind of, really? He said that? Jordan? Michael? So, you know, the documentary itself, now that alone, it made me feel he was more of a human, be honest with you. He was more one of us, and that made me appreciate him a lot more. The fact that he had to go through so much adversity to have the success he had. You know, I think about, you know, losing my dad, how I feel about my dad, and the fact that, you know, you know, he's murdered in such a senseless act, a senseless way. And to have, with saying it's your fault, like you had something to do with your father being murdered. Now, that happened to me, and the way I feel about my father, you know, that's tough to get past sometimes. And he had to get past that. He had to get through all the adversity as far as with the team and his personal life and all these type of things. So to see how human he was and the fact that he still was able to have the mental strength to get through it and be the best player in the world and live up to those accolades, I mean, I admire him more so for that.
We're talking to Mo Williams, great basketball player at Alabama, long career in the NBA, including an NBA championship, and now the head coach at Alabama State, building a program back in his home state. So, Mo, you know, as you talked about The Last Dance, it just sort of dawns on me that anybody who's at a certain age had to and loves the game of basketball, whether you're rooted for Michael Jordan's teams or not, you were heavily influenced by him and that great group of players during that era, where you still had just amazing audiences watching those games. Take yourself back to those times. You're a teenager, basically, for a lot of that. Mm-hmm. How did Michael Jordan influence you as a player?
I mean, Michael Jordan is, you know, my all-time favorite basketball player of all time. I mean, I grew up watching him. He's my era as a kid, greatness, just like my kids is LeBron's. You know, they grew up in an era where LeBron is the best thing smoking to them. And when I grew up and I was their age, it was the vice, you know, same thing for me with Michael Jordan. And if you ask LeBron, he'll tell you the same thing about how Jordan impacted us as kids. It's amazing. Everybody wanted to be like Mike, you know. It was just someone, you know, that kind of set the tone that this is greatness and you want to be. He felt like God in a way, you know, and you almost felt like you couldn't be Jordan. You want to be like Jordan, so you pick a player. Like, my favorite player was Gary Payton. I felt like, you know what, I could be as good as Gary Payton. I don't know about Mike. You know, he too great. You know, so that's the kind of impact Michael Jordan had on, you know, my life as a teenager, you know, growing up loving the sport and appreciating the sport and obviously, you know, having an aspiration to actually be there one day.
You had a really interesting career path in the league. I mean, just logging as many years in the league is one thing, but your experience is pretty unique. You come in, and at one point, you're playing with a young LeBron James before Cleveland's able to win a title. You leave, and you basically come back right around the time that he comes back, and you have the breakthrough to win the championship with the Cavaliers. So first, let's take LeBron, because we're talking about Michael Jordan, and as you know, there's all kinds of comparisons going on right now between Michael and LeBron. But take the younger LeBron first. What was the most enjoyable thing about playing him in those younger years as you had that quest to try to get over the top and win a championship?
Oh, man, it was just a sense of, you know, wanting to get it done. You know, when he was young, he was chasing. You know, he had all these records he wanted to break. You know, he was striving to be in these talks that he's getting every single show that I go on, every single show that I hear is Bron and it's Jordan. And I tell people all the time, when they try to compare Michael to someone, there's nobody else's name comes up except for LeBron. You know, obviously, Kobe is kind of a little brother Michael Jordan, but at the same time, when you talk about the greatest of all time, it's always LeBron and Mike. That's the only name comes up. And I kind of give the analogy of, okay, I say, hey, guys, you got to pick one of these two guys. You got to close your eyes. They're going to go in a circle like musical chairs, and you just point. And when we say stop, that's who you got. And I guarantee you one thing, you won't be mad with either one.
That's a good way of putting it. Mo Williams is with us. So, Mo, how tough was it to get over when LeBron first left the Cavs? Because it ends up being a great story. You guys end up being reunited, and you're part of the happy ending. But, I mean, obviously that was really tough for that city.
Well, first of all, I was, you know, 26 years old, just coming into my own, just coming off of All-Star year. I saw, you know, my life and that marriage with LeBron lasting forever. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I wasn't mature enough to handle that situation. You know, I wasn't mature enough to move on. But at the same time, you know, when you look back at it, since that year, I've made decisions for myself that wasn't popular for everybody else. It just, at that time, I just didn't understand. And, you know, you live and you grow, and obviously that's what brought us back together. And, you know, if I would have knew that I was going to come back in 2016 and win a championship with him, shoot, I would have bought a plane for him to go to Miami.
Right. That's interesting. So, Mo, you know, this is needless to say, I know the answer going in, but you know, Darren has got a lot of Cleveland ties. I've got relatives who are big Cleveland sports fans. We've all seen the 30 for 30 Believe Land and seen the heartbreak of the city. So to be a part of that team that breaks through in the fashion that you guys did it, I can't imagine what that was like, you know, when you finally got to celebrate all of that hard work that you guys had done.
Oh, man, it was amazing. It was amazing. You're talking about 1.4, 1.5, whatever that number was, million people in a block radius of downtown. Hey, it's hard to explain that, because explaining it, you really don't get the gist of how major and big and electric it was. You know, you're in the middle of the street, you're driving, and you cannot drive because there's so many people in the street, people on top of lights, people on top of buildings, people in buildings. It was mayhem, and it was amazing. It was a situation where you had 1.5 million people in one area, and nobody's mad. Everybody's happy. Like that, everybody's happy. Not one person upset. And it was just a great experience.
Mo Williams is with us, Alabama State head coach and longtime NBA player. So you brought Kobe up briefly earlier. You were with the Clippers when they were winning one of the championships there with the Lakers, and obviously, you know, sharing the same town with them when they're in one of their heydays, as many heydays as they have had. But what type of interaction, if any, did you have with Kobe during that time, or at any time in point during your playing days?
Well, you know, one thing about Kobe, I can't get into, you know, a lot of personal things with him because I didn't have that personal time with him. But, you know, as a, you know, as a competitor, just being around him in those moments, he's the most player that's like MJ. You know, just the way he carried himself, the way he plays, you know, he emulated MJ. And you can tell the way he played, his competitiveness, you know, all those type of things. So I enjoyed, you know, every moment with him. Excuse me. I've enjoyed the battles I've had against him, especially when I was in Cleveland with Bron. You know, it was always a big deal when we played the Lakers with the Bron and Kobe matchup. So those games was always huge. We played them on Christmas 2 years in a row. So it's always a big deal when we play them, and we always get the best from him. I have utmost respect for him, obviously. He's going to be, you know, obviously go down as one of the greatest. And, you know, it's sad that he's not here to go through this coronavirus with us, you know, but at the same time, he left his mark.
Absolutely. And in 2014, 2015, you played in Charlotte. Jordan, of course, the owner of the Hornets. So what kind of interaction did you have with Mike, the owner, during your time there?
People laugh at me when I say it. I was like, MJ was the owner, but he was kind of like one of us. You know, he would just come in the locker room, sit in the training room with us, he'd joking with us, like similar to how he was joking on The Last Dance. Like, that's what we saw, that guy. And the world just actually saw it on The Last Dance, but he'll come in and joke with us. You have a bad game, he'll come in and tell you wasn't worth a doggone tonight, in other words. But, you know, he's a player's owner. You know, like people say a player's coach, I think he's a player's owner.
Mo, as we started this off, of course, talking about your new job, you're the head coach at Alabama State, what's the biggest challenge that you're looking forward to as a first-time head coach when you finally are able to get started?
Well, the biggest challenge, for one, is just setting the culture, setting the foundation. That's the biggest challenge. I think you got to get that right the first time, and I think if you get it right the first time, That obviously just kind of sets your foundation and your culture to move forward.
Are you going to challenge your players to wear a headband? Because when I think of Mo Williams, I think of the headband. I really do.
Well, I'm not going to fight it if they put a headband on.
You know, what would be cool as we wrap this up, Mo, you got Jerry Stackhouse, who we had on the program a couple of days ago, who's Vanderbilt's coach. You know, so you could maybe get Vanderbilt on the schedule. You guys need to play each other. You got Anthony Hardaway here in the state. Penny's coaching Memphis. That'd be a nice match. I mean, you got some, you know, you got some NBA players. You got Juwan Howard up in Michigan. I mean, I'm thinking maybe that should be on the schedule at some point.
You got a network going here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, hey, thanks for coming on and doing this. We really appreciate it. Best of luck, and we'll certainly check in with you down the road. Thanks for doing this. Continue to be safe.
Thank you, guys.
All right, that is Mo Williams. He is Alabama State's new basketball coach, his first opportunity as head coach, and that was a lot of fun with him. You've heard us talk about Free Business Friday. This is our fourth installment of Free Business Friday. Don't forget Philip Forsberg at the bottom of the hour here on Darren Donick and Chase. We've had a really good time talking to people who own or manage small businesses that are safely back open, want to get the word out about what they're doing, and today is no different. Craig Carpenter is on the line with us, and he's with Digital World's Virtual Reality Arcade, which is located in Cool Springs. Craig, how you doing?
Doing really good.
Tell me about your business. This has me intrigued, and I have to believe there's a lot of people out there listening right now that hear, Virtual Reality Arcade. Their ears perked up as well, so tell us about it.
Yeah, so VR, it's definitely one of those, it's not an easy thing to describe. We show videos when you come into the arcade and you can see people playing it like right there live in front of you. And even then, it doesn't quite convey just how like immersive it is. When you actually go into the headset, that's what really gives you that idea of just, how different it is to see it when you're in the headset, but also how it makes you feel. We have a lot of sports titles at the arcade, things that let you do football, things that let you do racing games, flight simulators, and we'll get folks in there. We had one guy doing one of our racing sims. He fell over while in the chair because he started doing barrel rolls in it, and he just started leaning because in his mind, he saw that movement, so his body was reacting to that movement, and it's just quite an immersive thing you just have to experience.
The times that we're in, and because racing has been doing their iRacing, and I mean, VR, that's become a big deal in these times. So how much has that helped bring awareness to what you guys are doing over there? And, how much more interest do you see? Because I feel like more people are playing video games in these times.
Oh, yeah. I mean, COVID, it put everybody, we had to social distance. And so everybody's been trying to find something that they can do where they can still interact with people, but yeah, keep that social distancing. At the arcade, we actually have each one of our stations is 100 square foot. So when you're in one station with friends, with family members and coworkers, you're already naturally distance away, 10 feet from the person next to you. So it gives people that opportunity to come in and be doing, interactive kind of gaming with each other. In something that, and because they're, still locked in, we can't travel, but in VR, you could jump in and, do something like Google Earth, where you fly around the world kind of like Superman and can go to all these kind of places. You can still jump in and, do some of those, Formula One racing. Yeah, they've been having all their racers have been doing live streams, not necessarily in VR, but they've been doing just live streams in general, to keep in that spirit, to still be able to do the things that they love and keep that social distancing.
Tell people where you're located in Cool Springs.
So we're located at 1945 Mallory Lane, and we're right back behind the Verizon store that's directly there on Mallory Lane. And if you drive on by during the night, just keep an eye out for the blue lights. You will definitely see us from there.
Love it. Craig, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks a bunch.
Craig Carpenter with Digital World's VR Arcade there in Cool Springs. Now let's talk to Peter Demas. Demas's Restaurant. If you've been in Nashville for more than 5 minutes here in Middle Tennessee, you should be fully aware of Demas's Restaurant. Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. I know as we complete phases, and it's depending on what part of Middle Tennessee you're in here in Rutherford County. I know down in Murfreesboro, the restaurant business has been back open. People have been able to dine in, and I know that's all starting to happen all over Middle Tennessee. So for people who don't know about Demas's Restaurant, tell everybody about your locations and what you guys are about.
Well, yeah, so we got locations in Murfreesboro and Lebanon and Hendersonville where the dining rooms are open and all those locations. And then it's a full-service restaurant. Servers are now wearing masks and all the tables are 6 feet apart. And we're sanitizing on a regular basis. And then we also have another concept of two restaurants called PDK, which is a fast casual southern restaurant. We have one in Mount Juliet and one in Bellevue. And so if you're in those areas on that 40 corridor, then you can easily pop in there and get some good southern food. And again, same type of stuff. People wearing masks, and we're just trying to keep everybody safe and healthy.
Peter, do you still have the liquid sugar?
we actually can't do the liquid sugar now because it's a shared condiment. But what we've done is we now add the liquid sugar to the tea, and so now okay. our sweet tea is perfectly sweet because we use the liquid sugar that we make in the back, and then we just okay. add it to the tea for you. But yeah, we can't share it anymore. It's one of those things that we've done in order to help keep people safe.
Well, that's smart, but it is fantastic. Their tea, just for someone who loves sweet tea, let me tell you, it's worth going just for that. But certainly the food is outstanding as well. I'm glad you guys are safely back open and we can get the word out. Peter, thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for doing this for everybody.
All right, Peter Demas. Demas's restaurants, you just heard the locations. Go check them out. They are safely back open, and you can dine in. We will come back. Don't forget Philip Forsberg at the bottom of the hour here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.